As is our custom at the evening hour, for those who are regular worshippers at Covenant, we take the catechisms to guide us through the study of God's Word. And what could be more appropriate in the times in which we live than the first question and answer that is set before us in the Heidelberg Catechism, filled as it is with much comfort to the soul. In the wisdom, the pastoral wisdom of those who gave us the Heidelberg Catechism, the first question set before us asks this: what is your only comfort in life and in death? And that the answer that is set before us is simply this: that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven or a hair can fall from my head, yet that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Well, as we consider this particular question and answer given to us in the wisdom of our forefathers in the faith, we recognize that what they are doing is bringing together a host of texts that help us understand how we might answer the question, what is our comfort? There is a benediction which is often used in scriptures, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds the knowledge of Christ Jesus. It was, at least I believe it was, Augustine who commented, but may you find no rest, no peace, until you find that peace in Christ Jesus. Now, if we examine those words, it sounds almost as though it were something of a curse. May you find no peace. But really, as we explore his meaning, Augustine was pointing us and to all who would hear his words that really the only possible source of our peace must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is similar that as we encounter the words of the Heidelberg Catechism and it asks the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That there is an anticipation there that we actually need to find comfort. When the world is in its normal course of activities, it is so easy for us merely to be about our lives and enjoy all the things that this world has to offer, and rightly so. We enjoy the company of friends. We enjoy an evening spent in and with their companionship. Perhaps we might enjoy a sports fixture or something of that nature, and all those things are good and proper in their place. But as Christians, we would hold that it is not that we find our comfort, and no matter how much we might enjoy the company of those who are dearest to us. But if we have understood what the Heidelberg Catechism is saying, what it would place upon our hearts as we would reflect upon it, we would have to say that our only comfort in life and in death is that we are not our own, but belong to our faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'd like us to examine the response that is given in the Heidelberg Catechism. And in that sense, we depart from our normal practice, which is to light upon perhaps a single portion of God's Word and to draw out the truth, the teaching of that. Tonight we'll do something just a little bit different, inasmuch as we will draw together the various passages of Scripture which the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism used to draw upon in order that they might give us such a full answer to this question, what is your comfort? And I trust that in doing so, we are able to see the pastoral wisdom of this particular question and answer. the Heidelberg Catechism also often uses so much of a pastoral, practical application. What does this mean to you? But I trust that as we do so, we also bear in mind our neighbors. If these days are filled with uncertainty for us who know, love, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who lean upon his wisdom, then for those who are deprived of such a knowledge and such an understanding, these words are particularly filled with great concerns, great worries. And we do pray that as we have an opportunity to speak to our neighbors and our friends, that we might give them a reason for the hope that is within us. And so we would turn to the comfort of God's word. We would draw together those verses which are the basis of what the question and answer rests upon, that we may answer for our own satisfaction, for parents speaking to their children at such a time, that we might write upon the fleshy tables of their hearts the truth and the power of God's word. So let us then give some time this evening to reflecting upon that which has been the comfort of God's people now for a number of centuries and continues to be so, that which has been a comfort to not a few in our midst at times of testing. And at a time which is somewhat unknown in the experience of most of us, perhaps even all of us, when so much is uncertain, to remind ourselves that our comfort is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. Well, let me divide what the Catechism has to say, and with the proof of God's word, into five headings. And I'll seek to be brief as we make our way through what the Heidelberg Catechism would bring to our attention, the comfort of God's word. Well, first of all, we can say that the word of God tells us that our comfort is complete. That I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And that rests upon an understanding of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where which Paul, writing to the early church, the church in Corinth, poses a question to them. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Well, as the Catechism develops that theme, it brings to our attention that we belong body and soul. And one of the ways in which we are encouraged to understand such a statement is that when we have two such things, like body and soul, it's a bit like when we refer to heaven and earth, everything in heaven and earth, by which we simply mean that we're including everything that there is, heaven and earth. So when we speak about belonging body and soul, what we're saying is that we belong entirely to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that there is no part of us that is excluded. It is completely saved. Now, it may not be obvious as we reflect upon these things, but it has a strong Christological sentiment to it. The ancient theologians would tell us what Jesus did not assume, he did not redeem, which is a fancy way of saying that if Jesus did not take upon himself the likeness of our frail flesh, if he did not receive us in our entirety, if he did not have a reasonable soul, if he did not have a physical body, if he did not assume these things, then he did not redeem these things. And so what the wisdom of our forefathers, guided by the word of God, is telling us is that we are in our entirety redeemed. This morning, Pastor Tarullo was pointing us in that direction, and with much benefit, I would say, to my own soul. Yes, we look forward to heaven, but as we as a fellowship in recent months have also reflected, that heaven is not actually our final state, that there will be a new heavens and a new earth, in which our souls will once more be restored to a resurrected body. Now, we are accustomed to thinking of heaven as being a most splendid place, and of course it must truly be. But what will the new heavens and the new earth be like if that is better for us than even heaven itself? Truly defies our capacity to describe or even anticipate, greater by far. And here is the hope that is brought to us from God's Word and brought together under the one question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, that it is a complete redemption, that I, both in body and in soul, belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that I am redeemed completely, utterly. But there's something further there, and this is the second element that is brought to us in the Heidelberg Catechism. There's the comprehensive nature of what Christ has done. If the first part has its emphasis upon how we receive it, the second part has an emphasis upon the fullness of what Christ has done for us. And that is based upon what we have already read from the letter of Paul to the Romans, from Romans chapter 14, and in particular from verses 7 and following, in which we are described as living and dying unto Christ. So whether we live or we die, we live unto Christ or we die unto Christ, because we fully belong to Him, because He has paid the price in full. Now, in a fallen world, that may seem as though it is something that a lot of people would run away from. Why would I want to be bought at a price? But of course, that's how the world responds to such things. But I trust that our minds, filled with a knowledge of who Christ is and what He has done, would say it is our abiding joy to say that we belong to Christ. And whether we live to Christ. And whether we die unto Christ. Because that feeds into how the Catechism then shows us a great contrast. It shows us the contrast of those who live in this world. And the reference point for us there is John chapter 8 at verse 34 and following, in which Jesus is addressing such words that if we sin, then we are slaves to sin. It controls us. And truly, if we have been set at liberty, and Jesus goes on to say, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And our testimony is that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been set at liberty from sin. It no longer is a controlling factor in our lives, but that we are released from bondage to sin. That bondage which would take control of us, which would guide our actions, which would control the very words that we speak, which would indeed invade our minds and take control of that. And for all the way in which the world might boast of its freedom and its liberty to do all the things that it wants to do, it really is simply in bondage to its own lusts and desires and unable to escape. The true liberty is a liberty that the Son of God confers upon those who are His. And we who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are able to say that we have been set at liberty. That we're no longer under the tyranny of the devil. That we're not compelled to do his deeds, to speak his words, to think his thoughts. But that we have true liberty. And who would surrender that liberty which we have in Christ Jesus to be brought once more into bondage to sin. From contrast, the Heidelberg Catechism moves then to the constancy. And for the text from Scripture, we turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. And in that passage, we hear of Jesus speaking about a sparrow. Now, I recognize that in speaking about the sparrow, I may be going somewhat beyond what Scripture actually says, but I can picture Jesus being the great teacher that he was and being also the great pastor that he was, seizing upon an opportunity to speak to his own disciples. And perhaps they're walking along a road. I hope we're not doing any violence to God's word. But as he sees a sparrow lying perhaps at the foot of a tree, having fallen to the earth, Jesus seizing upon that to instruct his disciples. There's not even so much as a sparrow that will fall to the ground, but that your Father in heaven knows about it. And then I can picture Jesus. It's a sort of thing, and boys and girls, perhaps when you're out with your father, it's sort of a dad kind of comment to make, I suspect, with a smile upon his lips, saying to John, taking him by the arm, "Don't worry, you're worth more than a sparrow. You're worth many sparrows, John." Well, perhaps that is going a little bit beyond Scripture. I hope it's not doing in any sense any violence to Scripture, but giving us something of the comfort that comes from us from the Word of God. That not even a sparrow, that most common of all birds, to be found in any city that you have ever visited, any city that I have ever visited, and yet, common though it is, not one falls to earth, but that our Father in heaven knows about it, and would assure us that we are worth more than many, many sparrows. That even the very hairs on our head are numbered. What a comfort it is to know that at this time, that when all seems so different in the world, and the next thing that we might hear from those who are raised up to positions of authority might bring a further tightening of restrictions. We hope, we look for, we long for, we pray for a lessening of the restrictions, but neither you nor I know what tomorrow will bring. But we do know this. Whatever we're facing today and tomorrow, we're not outside of God's sovereign plan for us. Indeed, it's not just that we are able to say that a sparrow does not fall to the ground except our Father in heaven knows about it, that the hairs on our head are numbered, but yea, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purposes. And in and through everything that these days have set before us, all the uncertainty, all the difficulties, God's plan is being worked out for you and for me and for all who love the Lord our God. So that we are able to say, what is our only comfort in life and in death? That we're not our own. That our salvation is complete. That it is comprehensive. That it contrasts with the world. And that it is constant. That our faithful Savior continues to watch over us. and keep us as in the hollow of his hand. If Augustine could say that he desired that people would have no peace until they found that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, might we be bold enough to say that we desire that they would find no comfort until they find that comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ? That they would find that comfort where we find it. My only comfort in life and in death, body and soul, is that I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And perhaps we might even be bold enough to pray that our neighbors, our colleagues at work, would find no comfort. No comfort in the things in which they have sought comfort these many years. But that the Lord would extend this day of uncertainty until such times as they would find their comfort as we have found it in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior. But there's one further application that does come to us from the wisdom of those who gave us the Heidelberg Catechism. It is a certified comfort. And for that we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, in which we are told that we will receive the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. What a blessing it is for us to know that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. We would be foolish to think that at such times of uncertainty that we are immune. It would be wonderful to think that each and every one of us had no uncertainty, no doubts at all, and that we go even from strength to strength, and that we never stumble or fall. We would all desire that. But of course the pastoral wisdom of the Heidelberg Catechism points us to the pastoral wisdom of God's Word. Knowing that we are but flesh and blood, and being but flesh and blood, oft times we do stumble, we fall. We are not the towers of strength which we would desire to be. We perhaps are not the towers of strength that other people think that we are. But we're given the Holy Spirit. And part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bear testimony with our spirits that we are the sons and daughters of God. So that even in our weakest moments we're able to say, I wish I were strong. I wish all the thoughts of uncertainty had been banished from me. But I am weak. And I come again into the presence of God and confess that and ask for his strengthening, his quickening power. But brother and sister in Christ, do you not see how that bears testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Why would you do that if you did not know that it is in the presence of God that you will find your comfort? That he is the strength of those who are weak. That it is by the work of the Spirit of God that you cry, Abba, Father. And so that the Heidelberg Catechism brings together all these elements, and it answers the question in such boldness and such clarity, what is your only comfort? Brethren, what is your only comfort in life and in death? My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Many an anxious thought will arise in our minds. But as we enter into the very presence of our God, we can say with the saints in many a generation, bid my anxious thoughts subside. May God, by His grace, enable us this night when we lay our heads upon the pillow to reflect that your comfort, that my comfort, is to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him we rest secure. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, what a world of comfort is to be found in Thy Word. We thank Thee that even in these verses which we have touched upon tonight, we find a comprehensive answer to the question, what is our only comfort? What is our only comfort in life and in death? And we thank Thee, Father, that with the saints in many a generation, we have been enabled to respond with the certainty of Thy Word, that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Bid our anxious thoughts subside. For this we ask in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.